All right, let's turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. I know Pastor John Mark mentions it every week, but so appreciate the time and energy put in by the instrumentalist and then also for the special music and the choir and the time it takes and the effort and energy and I believe God is pleased with what goes on here. And just so appreciate the music service and all that goes into that. Numbers chapter 14, we'll read verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you, Lord, for another time to be back in your house, Lord. And I got started with a great prayer meeting this morning, Lord. And Lord, it's gone on from there. Lord, we just praise you for the Sunday school hour, Lord. And then, Lord, already what's been accomplished here, Lord, and setting us up, Lord, for the message, Lord. We're looking forward to that. And God, just thank you for another day to be in your house, Lord. And Lord, I know one thing. This isn't time wasted. That much I do know, Lord. This is time that is spent worshiping you. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, we invite you as we do always to the service. God, we pray that you'd work, Lord, here in the message hour, God, and Lord, bring us closer to you, Lord. If there's a soul that's not saved, God, bring him to a saving knowledge of Christ today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. And, man, appreciate, as he mentioned, the music this morning and the choir. And then Ms. Antic and Ms. Ann, a great job on that. And Mrs. Hayes with the offertory. And also, but thanks to those that week by week and this morning, Mrs. Hayes and Mrs. Chris, for the great job they do on the instruments. I appreciate that and the time that goes into that. And we are, I tell you this morning, you've got your place there in Numbers. Hold on to that, and because we'll be back there at some point. But I know you're thinking, hey, we're supposed to be in Joshua, and we are, all right? So I want you to turn to Joshua chapter number 14. Joshua chapter 14, and we've gone through here in the book of Joshua. And again, we mentioned some at the beginning, as they crossed over the Jordan River, what God was doing in the nation of Israel. And most of what we talked about is it doesn't mean that it doesn't touch on salvation, and we'll do that again a little bit this morning. But we would talk about more than anything else, the victorious Christian life, how you're supposed to live once you're saved. And that's the book of Joshua, what it's about. And these people of Israel, they've been delivered away from Egypt. They're no longer in bondage anymore. They're no longer wandering in the wilderness. And this is the generation that now is coming to the promised land. And so we've gone through several different things. We've talked about, of course, the victorious Christian life has been our theme sort of throughout. But then also we talked about the defeated Christian life, when you have defeats. There's going to be times when there's defeats. We talked about the compromised Christian life, when those compromises are made. We talked about the different battles we'll face, and some of those miraculous in God answering prayer and God doing something just so big in your life. And then others, we talked about this a little bit last week, it doesn't mean that it's not exciting. It just means there's a day by day, a daily walk, a daily victorious Christian living that we're supposed to have in our life. And so we looked at all those things. And then I want to take some time this morning. We did this several weeks ago. We're sort of in the middle of the story, and we had a chapter that God just put in there, really, that was focused more on Rahab. And so we took away a little bit from what we're talking about and talked about Rahab. This morning we have a chapter, at least a portion of a chapter, that talks about another character in the Word of God. Not mentioned a whole lot, but is in this passage. So I want to go to Joshua chapter number 14 as well. And so Joshua, the book of Joshua and chapter number 14, we're going through chapter 11, I think it was last week. And in chapters 12 and 13, Joshua begins to divide up the land. The land, for the most part now, has been conquered. Not all of it, and we'll get to that later in other messages. But for the most part, Canaan has now been conquered by the Israelites. And so now it's up to Joshua to divide the land. And that's interesting to study that and to see what portion each tribe received. There's 12 tribes, and God divided that land amongst them. Of course, the Levites didn't have a particular portion that was theirs, but the rest of the tribes did. And so God does it. Also makes a list of all the kings that they conquered. I believe it's 31 different kings that were conquered by the Israelites. And so it goes through that in those couple chapters. Then we get to Joshua chapter 14. And I've titled the message this morning this, the Dedicated Christian Life. The Christian life that is dedicated to service for God. And we have an example for that here in Joshua chapter number 14. And we're going to go through three different statements from this Bible character. All right, somebody, it's interesting because you have the book of Joshua that's written. But this character is intertwined, of course, with Joshua. We mention him sometimes with Joshua, and we say Joshua and Caleb, right? We'll talk about Caleb. This morning, I want to concentrate on the life of Caleb as a dedicated Christian life. You think about this, as we think about Caleb, we're not told a lot about Caleb. He's mentioned in Numbers chapters 13 and 14. And then he's mentioned again here in Joshua just a short time. But you think about his life. Caleb and Joshua, as you know, are the only two that are still alive from that group that went against God's command and did not go into the promised land 40-some years before. And so those are the only two left. So that would be interesting, by the way, because Caleb in this passage is 85 years old. We'll get to that in a little bit. Joshua was roughly the same age. Everybody else, we're talking about probably up to 2 million people. Everyone else around them is but 45 or younger. Imagine these two guys, of course, assume that their wives, their wives as well. But outside of that, they have nobody else. One thing to be, each generation, but there's only two people in their whole generation, all right, that are alive. And so you think about Caleb's experience, that means this. Caleb grew up as a slave in Egypt. That's where he grew up. The people he's around, they don't know anything about that. But he grew up as a slave in Egypt. More than likely, he was in his late 30s, close to 40. There when Moses came on the scene and those plagues that God sent down upon the nation of Egypt, he and Joshua almost saw those. And they saw those plagues. They were there, right, for the parting of the Red Sea. And some of those that were still around, that are close to their age, at least in the, we'd say, 50s or 60s, if they were 17, 18 years old, when they had to start wandering in the wilderness. So maybe that age at best. So some of them as children may remember a little bit, but this is something that Caleb experienced as an adult. And so as an adult, he was there and saw the parting of the Red Sea and, of course, experienced all that went on in the wilderness there for the last 40 years. So Caleb's been through all those things. And so we have three statements from Caleb which show what dedication he had to the Lord. So I want to go through those three statements in Joshua chapter number 14. The first one is in verse 8, and this talks about a past decision. Look at verse number 8. It says, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me, may the heart of the people melt." But he makes this statement, "But I wholly followed the Lord my God." First thing that we have here from Caleb is he says, "I wholly followed the Lord my God." That would, by the way, that was a past decision. Caleb made a decision as a younger man that he was going to wholly follow God. And so that decision really shaped his life. In fact, look at verse number 6. He's chosen here for a special purpose in verse 6. It says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, a servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land." So Caleb was chosen for a special service. It was an exclusive group of 12 people that Moses chose out and said, "Hey, I want you all to go into the land of Canaan. I want you to spy out the land." So he had a special purpose, an exclusive group. And then he's sent by Moses into this adventure to go and spy out the land. And so he's chosen for this. A decision that Caleb made. And so Caleb, one of these 12 that went out. And so he goes out, and not only does he have a special service, he's also faithful in that service. Look at verse number 7. We read, 40 years old he was, and says at the end of the verse, "And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt." You know, Caleb was faithful in his service. He says, "I brought word again of what was in my heart." Go, hold your place there in Joshua. Go back to Numbers. The Numbers there. And look back at chapter 13 and verse number 30. Interesting as we read this story of what Caleb did. And Caleb goes and they spy out the land. In verse number 30 of Numbers chapter 13, and we'll go back and forth from this a couple times. It says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. You know, Caleb was faithful in his service. He says, I brought word that was in my heart. He wasn't influenced by his surroundings. You know, all the other spies except for Joshua, they looked at the giants and the people that were in the land of Canaan, and that influenced their decision. In fact, you read this passage, Numbers 13, well, they said, we can't go take the land. Why? Because it's too much, right? Those around us, they're too strong. Those that we would have to fight, they're too strong for us. They're too big for us. And if we're not careful, we'll make decisions based upon the surroundings that we see, right? Hey, I can't do that for God. That's too much for me to do. Hey, I can't expect to accomplish that. I can't serve God in that way. Boy, I'm not capable of doing that. But Caleb, he didn't look at his surroundings. No, he said he gave God what was in his heart. And it's interesting, in Numbers 13, it wasn't Joshua that stilled the people. Who was it? It's Caleb. We tend to think of Joshua as sort of a leader, and Joshua was a leader. And obviously, he's the leader of Israel at this point in the book of Joshua. But Caleb's the one that told everybody, hey, listen to me. We can go do it. We can do it. And so in that service, he is faithful in his service to God. Back to Joshua chapter number 14, not only was not influenced by his surroundings, but look, as we read in verse 8, he said, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Hey, he wasn't influenced by his peers either. All those other spies except Joshua, they made the heart of the people melt. They went against God. And let me tell you, young people, you decide I'm going to serve God no matter who around me does it. Hey, those people, boy, but this person's not, and this young person, they made a decision to go. Hey, you don't determine what you're going to do based on what somebody else does. You do what God called you to do. And Caleb made the decision, I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to worry about my surroundings. I'm not going to be influenced by my peers. And, of course, because of that decision, that past decision for God, Caleb was rewarded for his decisions. Back to Joshua chapter 14 and verse number 8. It says, but a holy father, the Lord my God, verse 9, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. Caleb is rewarded for his decision, for his service for God. God says, this land is going to be your inheritance. It's going to be what you get for what you did for God. Interesting, I like this. In fact, look here at verse number 6, and then we'll go back to Numbers for just a second. Look at verse 6 of Joshua 14. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, who's he talking to? Talking to Joshua. What does it say? Thou knowest this thing that the Lord said. Hey, you know the only one that knew what God said was Joshua? You know that? And you think about Caleb looking at Joshua and says, hey, you know, you remember what God told us. And Joshua is the only one alive that could remember. And so Caleb and Joshua have this together. Go back to Numbers in chapter number 14. Look at Numbers 14. What was it that God said in Numbers chapter 14? Look at verse number 30. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Verse number 38, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. You know what it was that God had said? God said, Joshua, Caleb, y'all will continue because of your decision you made for me. They were rewarded for deciding for God. Hey, Caleb made a decision when he was younger, and that decision shaped the rest of his life. Hey, this morning, are there decisions you have made for God that have shaped the rest of your life? Now, some of you maybe it was when you were younger. Some of you maybe a little bit older. Obviously, the first thing that comes to mind would be your salvation decision. And that's the most important thing. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, then there's no way that Christ can shape your life if you don't have a relationship with Him. So it starts there. But then also, there are some decisions you made. I mean, there's some of you this morning, maybe you were saved when you were younger, but you weren't really in church. And there was a day you decided, I'm going to be in the house of God. And you're in the house of God today, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years later, because of that decision you made for God. And that decision has shaped the life of you, your spouse, your family, all because of your decision for God. Some of you this morning, you're like me,
and there's decisions I had to make. Also, my life was shaped by decisions others made as well, right? And so those that came before me, the decisions they made. But that decision that Caleb made, he's rewarded for that. He wholly followed the Lord. Numbers 14:24, it mentions that again. Won't read that for time's sake, but Caleb wholly, if I said, had a spirit with him, a different spirit, and he wholly followed God. Back to Joshua chapter 14. So we have that first from Caleb. Caleb's testimony is, hey, in the past, I wholly followed the Lord. And there you this morning. Hey, in the past, doesn't mean you've been perfect. No, but you made some decisions for God. And those decisions, because those decisions for God that you made, and you're here this morning. I was looking around, I just saw Miss Connie Mima. And when her mom passed away, we were going through her testimony. And she's talking about where she made a decision for Christ. She went over to Clover Hill Baptist Church, and Pastor Calvin Eves led her to the Lord. And that was Miss Connie's only 45. So that was just a few years ago, all right? But that shaped, and she would tell you, she's here this morning. A lot of other decisions she made too. But the main reason is because that decision she made during that time period, that God. And so you look around this morning, man, you made a decision, and God is using you today. You're serving God. You're in the house of God today because of the decision you made. And that's a great testimony to Caleb. But let me tell you something with Caleb, it doesn't stop there. Once you look at his next statement, look at verse number 11. We have the past decision. And look at verse 11. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. His second statement is this. First, he said, I wholly follow the Lord my God. That's a past decision. Secondly, he says, I am as strong this day as I was. That's his present condition. Hey, he says, I'm just as strong today as I was back then. Now, let me ask you this morning, are you just as strong today as you were back then? Look at Caleb and his testimony, and he gives it here. We talked about this already. Look at verse number 10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85 years old. Caleb is 85 years old. And he says, I'm just as strong today as I was 45 years ago. By the way, this is what a wonderful testimony of Caleb. That means for the last 45 years, that's 45 years of quiet service for God. You know how much we've heard about Caleb in the last 45 years in the Bible? None. Nothing. We don't hear that, boy, Caleb was given a command post with Joshua. No, we don't hear anything about that. We don't hear that Caleb got to go up when the Ten Commandments were given. No, Joshua got to do that. Hey, we don't have him as one of the sons of Aaron helping out Aaron. No, he's not one of the priests or one of the Levites. He's not from that tribe. He's from the tribe of Judah. Hey, he doesn't have, as far as we know, there's no prominent position given to Caleb. But you know what it is? It's 45 years of serving God day after day after day. You know, we need Joshuas. We need people that are going to lead. We need a Moses. We need people that are going to lead. But we also need Calebs and those that serve. Man, they teach Sunday school week after week after week. No attention. They work on the bus, in the bus ministry, week after week after week. Or they work in the nursery. Or they sing in the choir. Or they work over in junior church. Or whatever. And they serve God, and they serve God, and they serve God. And be honest with you, nobody ever really mentions their name. Caleb, for 45 years, we hear nothing, but we find him at 85 years old, and guess what he's doing? He's doing the same thing he was doing 45 years ago. He's still serving God. He's still walking with God. He's still living for God. He's had a life of faithful service to God. Can you imagine that? 45 years of quiet service. How about this? How about 45 years of patience? I mean, Joshua, what Joshua had to go through. But Joshua, at least, boy, he's there with Moses. He knows what he's following him. He knows what God's doing. And God uses Joshua to take over from Moses. Caleb had to spend 45 years waiting to get in the promised land, and it was not his fault. Hey, he's the one that came back and said, let's go. He wanted to go 45 years ago. I tell you what, I've seen many Christians have to deal with situations like Caleb did, and they get bitter. They get bitter because they don't get to see results right away. Hey, God promised him this land 45 years ago. That's when God gave the promise, and he hasn't seen it yet. We have people saved. Hey, I thought God was going to do this in my life. Well, how about some patience, right? How about some long suffering? How about some, instead of asking God, hey, do this for me now, no. Having patience with the Lord as he has with us. And so 45 years, everyone else has gone through this. Even if it wasn't their fault to say, hey, my parents did this. No, Caleb's the one that stood, right? And yet, even though he stood, he had to wait 45 years of patience. And then look at verse number 10. As we mentioned, the promise of God. What does he say in the beginning of verse 10? And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. What's the next part say? As he said. 45 years of trusting God's word. You know why he stayed around for 45 years to serve God? Because he trusts his word. You know why some Christians do not stay with it? Because they don't trust God's word. Well, it doesn't work. Well, I've tried it and it doesn't work. Well, I've gone to church a little bit and I haven't seen a big change. Or my family is still the same. Hey, how about trusting God day after day after day after day for 45 years? Caleb relied on God's promise. God said, you're going to get a land someday. Man, do you think there wasn't days where Caleb said, I don't think it's happening, right? Hey, I don't think it's going to happen. We're wandering around this wilderness. It's not happening. But he realizes God kept him alive. As he said, 45 years of trusting God's word. In verse number 11, he says this. He says, my strength has not diminished. Hey, I'm just as strong then. I'm just as strong now as I was then. And by the way, I like this with Caleb. Notice what it says in there, verse 11. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. What's that strength for? To sit in the rocking chair? Sit on the front porch and watch everything go around me? Sip a little coffee? Retire? Kick back? Relax? No, Caleb's 85 years old. He says, I've got strength. You know why I've got strength? To go to war. He says, there's still some battles to face. Let me tell you something this morning. If you're saved and you're still breathing, God has some things he wants you to accomplish, and that means there's still some battles to face. Hey, you still need strength to fight the battles that God has for you. And Caleb said, man, I'm just as strong as I'm. You said, but hey, I don't feel as strong as I did 40-some years ago. And I don't know that. No, hey, God will give you what you need. And Caleb realized that. He had the strength to live, the strength to go out, the strength to come in, the strength to go to battle. It's not just, boy, I'm going to make, oh, well, I've been serving God a long time. I hope I can make it. No, God's got some more for you to do, some more battles to face. And Caleb made a decision for God a long time ago. And let me tell you this, young people, let's stay here for a second. If you don't make that decision for God, obviously start with salvation. But if you don't make a decision to serve God with your life, man, it's going to be difficult later on. Make those decisions. Don't wait. Don't wait. And then those of you, look, there's some here this morning, they didn't really start to serve God until they were much older, and they would tell you, man, I remember Dad saying it so many times, man, I wish I could have started younger. Hey, make a decision now and say, I'm going to be faithful in serving God for all these years. And Caleb made a decision earlier on, and then he said, listen, in his present condition, I'm just as strong as I've ever been. And then the last statement, go down to verse number 12. And therefore, given this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord be with me, then look at the statement, I shall be able to drive them out. Hey, Caleb said, first, I have wholly followed the Lord God. That's in the past. And then second, that's his past decision. And then secondly, his present condition. He says, I'm just as strong as I've ever been. And then third, am I crackling here again, Mr. Cliff? Take me off of this, I guess. I'll just go to the main mic. I'll try to stay still. All right. So
His third statement is this, I shall be able to drive them out. That's his future excursion, right? That's what he's looking for in the future. And I mean, I love this. Look at the beginning of verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Hey, Caleb says, give it to me. Hey, it's mine. It's the inheritance that God has put, has given to me. I want that mountain. Give me that mountain. I'll be able to drive them out. And look at, go back to Numbers chapter 13. Go back to Numbers 13. Hold your place there in Joshua. Go back to Numbers 13 again. I want you to look at verse number 33. And this is the spies that are speaking, those 10 spies that they refused to go into the land. It says, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sights. Guess who they're scared of? The children of Anak, the Anakims, right? They said, those giants, man, we can't face those. That was 45 years ago. Back to Joshua chapter 14. What does verse 12 say? He says, I want that mountain. He said, give me this mountain, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there. Hey, he says, you know what? I don't want to see him. I want the mountain where those men were. Hey, where those giants were. And look what he says about their cities in verse number 12. And their cities were great and fenced. He says, man, I want those cities that were great and fenced. He says, I'm going there after the children of Anak. And what's the key here in verse number 12? Look near the end of the verse. If so be what? The Lord will be with me. Caleb knew where the victory came from. Hey, God's got something, not just, hey, it's not just a decision in the past. That's great. And being faithful to God, you should be. It's not just, boy, I can do something today, yes. But it's also what God has for you in the future. And God has something he wants you to do that he can do through you. If the Lord will be with me, he says, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I should be able to drive them out. He says, look, if God's with me, I'm able. This morning, if God's with you, you're able. Now, you can do whatever God has for you to do, but it's not time for us to sit around and say, boy, we're done with what we can do for God. No, God's got something for you to do this morning. And Caleb lived a dedicated Christian life. And notice what he says, then I shall be able to drive them out. We talked about this a little bit already. But he believed the promises of God. What does it say? As the Lord said, Caleb believed God's promises. God had promised them if they would fight, that he would help them drive out the Canaanites. And because of that, what happens? A new inheritance. Look at verse number 13. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day. Why? Because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He'd done it 45 years ago. He continued to wholly follow God. And because he wholly followed God, a new inheritance for him. By the way, the story doesn't stop there as we close. Look at Joshua chapter 15. What did Caleb say? He said, I want that mountain. Hey, I want it. Hey, I know the children of Anak are there, but I want it. I know the cities are fenced and great, but I want it because if God's with me, I know he'll keep his promises. Look at the results. Look at verse 14 of chapter 15. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of who? Of Anak. Hey, those giants in the land, that's who Caleb drove out. 45 years ago, the ones that the people of Israel said, no, we can't do it because of them. Caleb says, no, I'll take them. And he drove them out with God's help. Those three sons of Anak. And then not only that, this is what's so important. Caleb not only fulfill God's work for him and says, I can do this in the future. He also influenced another generation. Look at verse number 16. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sepher and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa my daughter to wife. And Othniel, son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it and he gave him Aksa his daughter to wife. Guess what? He inspired the next generation to go out and conquer more for God. Do you know that? And you know what we need in our church? We need people who live a dedicated Christian life, wholly following the Lord. We need that because God's got still more for them to do. Hey, this morning say, I've been here 40 years. God's got more for you to do. Hey, you're just as strong. Say, I don't physically feel strong. No, God's still got a work for you to do, and he'll give you the strength you need to do it. Hey, we need you doing that work. And we need you not just in the present. We're talking about in the future to wholly follow the Lord as you've wholly followed the Lord in the past. And Caleb not only did that, he inspired another generation as well. Close with this. Many of y'all have heard of the story of George Mueller. George Mueller was born in 1805 in what was then the land of Prussia, what we consider modern day, part of modern day Germany. He was born in 1805, and as a young man, he really went away from God. He didn't have a great upbringing. Parents weren't necessarily saved. And yet, as a 19, 20-year-old, he made a decision, accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He lived a wicked lifestyle as a teenager, but was saved. And then God called him to the ministry and said, begin pastoring. I think it was around the age of 27. Just took a small church. But as most of you know, it didn't just stop with taking a church. He also began to open up orphanages. He saw the need for these children that were out there. And started by bringing in a few. And eventually, his complex grew to the point where they were hosting over 2,000 orphans at a time. And it's amazing the work that he did in those orphanages for the Lord. I mean, thousands upon thousands reached. Of course, most of you know his testimony. He wouldn't ask for anything. He'd just pray everything in and whatever God brought in. And it's just some amazing stories how God provided for those orphanages there and the influence they had. And really, the work that he did, they said the people around, because you always have prejudices and people that are against others, and they said some of these poor were just getting too high and mighty. In other words, he was educating them and doing such things at such a level, he was raising them above those around them. And these orphans that would come in, and did a great work there in England. 71 years old. Had been working there in the orphanages for the last 40 some years, reaching thousands of children. And George Mueller decided at 71 that God had something else for him to do. And George Mueller went into evangelism. Now, this is in the late 1800s. So this is no automobiles. This is no airplanes. Over the next 17 years of his life, George Mueller traveled over 200,000 miles to almost every continent in the world, preaching and reaching people for Christ. You know why? Because at 71, he wasn't done yet. You know, he had wholly followed the Lord and had a great ministry there, but God had something more for him to do. And he says, you know, I'm able. I can do that for God. And so into his late 80s, he's traveling the world, serving God in what God has called. You know, God's got something for you to do. Hey, a dedicated Christian life. First of all, make sure you've made a decision for God. Make sure you're saved. But then once you're saved, are you wholly following the Lord? You say, yeah, well, I've done a lot. That's fine. But you're just as strong. You say, well, physically I can't. No, but your God's just as strong as he was 40 years ago, 30 years ago. Hey, and there's a mountain God has for you. You know that? Say, I don't want to fight. I don't want to go, right? Say, that's great for Caleb. He can fight those giants. I don't want to fight a giant. No, but God might have something for you, right? Something more for you to accomplish. Something great for him. And don't be afraid of that. Don't shy away from it. Follow the example of Caleb because you've got another generation to influence for him. Father, thank you for the example we have in the Bible of someone who was dedicated. Lord, we really don't hear much about Caleb outside of this chapter and a little bit in the book of Numbers. But what a testimony. What a testimony, Lord, that for 45 years he served in anonymity. Nobody knew what he was doing that we know of. And yet he stayed faithful. Nobody necessarily appreciated it, but he stayed faithful. And then, Lord, he believed those promises you gave him. Lord, help us not to waver in our faith over those promises you've given us. They're just as true as they were 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago. I pray we'd have some young people this morning that would decide, I'm going to wholly follow the Lord right now. I'm going to do it right now, and I want to be faithful to God. I want to be able to have a life of service to the Lord, where I can look back, as Caleb did, and say, I've wholly followed God. There may be some this morning who have followed you for a while, or this morning they need to say, I'm able. Hey, I'm able. If God will be with me, I'm able to go do something more. I'm willing. And then, Lord, I pray we look to the future and say, Lord, give me this mountain. Hey, give me that mountain. I want to go do some more for God. Lord, as this church will do that, then we see great things happen. And we see another generation influence for you. And Lord, we'd ask you that you would do that for us. And in Jesus' name we pray. If everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around this morning. Again, not a salvation message, but if you're here this morning and you say this, you say, I know I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I may have not decided everything right and maybe some decisions I wish I'd done differently, but I have decided to accept Christ as my Savior. I know I'm saved. If you can say that, would you slip your hand up saying, no, I'm saved this morning, put your hand right back down. If you say this morning, say, hey, I'm not sure about my salvation. I don't know. Man, look at what Caleb did. I need to make a decision for the Lord. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. If you're like that this morning, I promise I won't embarrass you, but you just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I'm just not sure about my salvation. Anybody like it, say, pray for me this morning. I'm not sure if I'm on my way to heaven. Hey, let me ask you this morning, are you wholly following the Lord? Hey, some young people make a decision, say, I'm going to start wholly following. I'm going to give God everything. Then how about this? How about the years of patient and faithful service? Hey, you know what? You're still able this morning. Still able. Because you've got a God that still can do it. Hey, are we going to ask God this morning, give me that mountain? I've got more to do for you. As the music plays this morning, you come forward as the Lord spoke to you. So glad you're here this morning. Don't forget to invite somebody in for every Sunday, but for Easter coming up in 2 weeks. Choir practice is in place tonight. Be back for 6 o'clock service. Brother Jason will be preaching for us tonight, so looking forward to that. Amen. Enjoy this beautiful weather today. Father, thank you for all you do for us, for your blessings on us. Lord, we look forward to what you have for us in the future. And we're thankful for what you've done in the past, but help us to look for that you have still for us to do. And bless us as a church. Keep us safe as we go out from here today. In Jesus' name, amen.